Okay, Sif Yud, big Sif. Kesem Shanimsa al Dover Sha'im Makabal Toma Lo Gazru Allah. Right? There's no Xer in a Kesem that sounds like it's not Makabal Toma. That is. Where's my Gemara? Right, Rabbi Nechemia. Comes up at the very top of Daf Mem Ches Mem Aleph. Top of Nechas Merale, Rem Nechemya Omer, called over Shein Makabel Toma, Eina Makabel Ksamim. And even though the Mes Yosef quotes that the Ravid says, who says we pass like Rem Nechemya? He pass against Rem Nechemya, but all the Rishonim pass like Rem Nechemya, except for the Ravid. We bevad, they pass like Rem Nechemya. Anything that's not Makabel Toma does not have a Din of Ksamim. And that's the case of Shmuel in the beginning of Perek HaRoah Kesem. That's the example that the Mechaber brings. Kesem nimsha dabek sheinim kabel toma lo gazru alav ketzad bodka karka olam o beis hakish sheinim kabel toma o kol dover sheinim kabel toma v'yashva alav and matzav o kesem da tahora. Right? If she checked the karka olam and she sat on it and they got up and found a kesem or anything that's not kabel toma, or the Ramah says our attached beis hakish sheinim, right? We discussed this. It's not kabel toma. And we also mentioned briefly the machlok as we showed him why they weren't gozer on something that's not makabel toma, right? The Rashba says because it's not shchiach to find things on davish in makabel toma, and they weren't gozer milsa lo shchicha. The more popular pshat was what we quoted from Tosfos and the Ran, because really the ikur gzeira was because the beged. The ikur gzeira was that the thing that the dam nida falls on is matamik. Because remember, dam nida is itself an avat toma. And then Agav being Matami, the thing it landed on, they're also Matami the Isha. What's some rules of Kabbal Toma? So we discussed one or two. Number one, the Shachat Sukkot Tezayin. We discussed that anything Kabbal Toma is Tzara'as, it's the term of Kabbal Toma. This is a little tricky because of Lumdus, we wouldn't have said this because we would have said, and the Lumdus is wrong. But we would have said, according to the Rashba, that the reason that it's only because Mekabel Toma is because something Shkiach, you could say Shkiach to have things that are Mekabel some kind of Toma. Even Negoyim, it's Shkiach to have things around that are Mekabel Toma's Negoyim. But according to Tosos and the Ram, that's because the Iker is the Toma of the thing the Dam lands on. And then Aga, the Toma of things the Dam lands on, there were Gozer, the Toma of the woman. You would think only if it's Mekabel Toma from Dam Nida. Not if it's Mekabel Toma's Negoyim. But Tosos himself said, even if it's a Kabbal Tomas Negoyim, so you have to say that regards to the Lumdus, they made a general rule. The general rule is anything the Kabbal Tomas is Mekabel Ksamim, even if it's not Mekabel Toma from the Dam Nida. It's only Mekabel Toma from Tzara'as, like, for example, the warper, the wolf we mentioned, the Shasi, Lamaisa, we pass even something Kabbal Tomas Negoyim. And I pointed out the last thing we discussed last time, if I recall correctly, is the Pesach Chubi Yud Zayin, quotes the Torah Sashlamim, who said that houses are actually Mekabel Toma because they're Mekabel Toma Saras, and therefore on a house is a Ksamim. And then the Sidri Tara in the back pointed out that Lemaisa, that's only in Israel, and even in Israel, the way our houses are built nowadays, they're not Mekabel Toma Saras. So we don't worry about houses, meaning no post can ever worry about houses. Okay, going on to New Inyanim, there's a big, 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 big Chumrah of the Sidri Tara, right? First, we want to deal with two questions. First question is, you know, what's called Mekabel Toma? What if it's only Mekabel Tomas Negoyim, but not Tomas Nida? Okay, so we're Machmir, that's the Shach in Sivkot and Tezayin. Second question is the Sidrei Tara, famous Chumash Sidrei Tara, quoted in the Pesachei Tshuva Sivkotan Yud Zayin at the beginning. I'm the Sidrei Tara, so Sivkot and Tzadik Gimel. What is Sidrei Tara's big chumrah? This is a big chumrah. His big chumrah is if the blood is found on something that's not Mekabel Toma, but that thing is on something that is Mekabel Toma, then that counts as Tomas Ksamim. Like, for example, the blood is found on toilet paper, which is not Mekabel Toma, let's assume for now. But the toilet paper was held in someone's hand, and a person is Mekabel Toma. The blood is found on a pad, which is not Mekabel Toma, let's assume. But the pad is on underwear, which is Mekabel Toma, because it's a bag. So basically, in like many, most modern-day cases of Einu Mekabel Tomar, it's found as Einu Mekabel Tomar, but that thing is being held by something that is Mekabel Tomar. So Sidrei Torah says now there's Tomas Ksamim because of Tomas Masa. We know Dam Nida is Matami B'maga U'B'Masa. If you touch the Dam Nida or a Kli touches the Dam Nida, it becomes a Rishon. Or if a Kli holds up the weight, supports the weight of a, or moves the Dam Nida, even if it doesn't directly touch it, it also becomes a Rishon. That's Tomas Masa. So basically said this is Reitara, even if the blood is on toilet paper, it's not Makabal Toma, since your hand was holding the toilet paper and your hand in the Makabal Tomas Masa from Dam Nida, therefore it's Ksamim. Or even if it's on a pad, which is not Makabal Tomas, the pad is on underwear, and underwear is clothing, which is Makabal Tomas Masa from Dam Nida. So it is Mekabel Toma. So it is Tomas Ksamim. That's a big chumra of the pis of the Sidrei Tara. The Pesachei Teshuva brings down the Sidrei Tara. But that's a chiddush. Because Pshat of the Gemara, it sounds like we care what the blood is on, not what the blood was supported by. And Lemaisa, none of the later Achronim, the mainstream of the later Achronim do not agree with this Pesachei Teshuva. We do not pass like the with this Sidrei Tara. We don't pass like the Sidrei Tara. We say they did not take Tomas Masa into account, only Tomas Maga, meaning if the Dam Nida is on something that's Mekabel Toma directly, then it's she's Tameya as Bishul Kesem. And if it's on the not Mekabel Toma, we don't care what's underneath that, she is Tahora. So we don't pass like that Sidrei Tara, which would take away all of our kulas. Now, where it gets controversial is what things are, well, one last principle. The end of Sifkat and Yud Zayin. He quotes a note of Yehuda. Says the Yehuda, Masha Mekabel Toma, Midyarbana, Mekabel Ksamim. What if something's only Mekabel Toma, Midyarbana? Where they go to Ksamim and something Mekabel Toma, Midyarbana, or only something gets Mekabel Toma, Midyaraisa. This is a big machlok Achronim. Again, the Pesachei Teshuva brings down one opinion of Yehuda. But a lot of Achronim argue on this. In the Shira Shevel Levi here, he brings a lot of Achron who argue, and he paskins Lakula. In the Badei Shulchan here, he also brings a lot of Achron who argue, and paskins Lachumra. Lemaisa, you know, this you're not called upon to paskin the Shaila very often, because usually there's also Machlokas, what's Mekabel Toma Midoraisa, what's Mekabel Toma Midrabanan, what's not Mekabel Toma at all. And you have to sort of put together all the factors and figure out whether it's likely to be Usur or Mutter. So it's pretty rare that you actually come up with this machlokes. L'chor, it would seem that since some are drabanan, one could be make all this machlokes if you something is Mekabel Toma Midrabanan. But most of the time, you don't have things that are clearly Mekabel Toma Midrabanan. Most of the time, you have things that it's a mess with the Mekabel Toma, and if so, on what level in the first place, then you have to paskin each individual thing. So what are some of the things which the machlokas, whether or not the mechabel, they're mechabel toma? Let's mention a few things. So first of all, obviously our toilets are not mechabel toma, as the Ramah already says, right? Even the Ramah's toilets, or some of his toilets are not mechabel toma because they're attached to the ground. The big machlokas, and this gets really into the first mission, mikvos. We're not getting into mikvos now, bad enough to get into Caleb. But we're also on Maratim and Mikvos. How about the water in the toilet? Once upon a time, there's no water in their toilets when their toilets were chamber pots. And if there was water in the toilets, so it was clearly Mekabel Toma. Water is Mekabel Toma. But how about the water in our toilets? The water in our toilets is a little tricky because it's water that is in the karka, because our toilets are attached to the ground, right? A puddle on the street, that water is not Mekabel Toma, because it's water that is not the water's mechover. Obviously, the water's not attached, but it's water that's been mechover, right? That's not polished. Okay, then the question is, what about the water in our toilets? Gets very complex, as you can imagine. On the one hand, our toilets are attached to the ground. On the other hand, the toilets come through all kinds of very complicated systems from the reservoirs, et cetera. You know, what is the status of that water? Lemaisa, it's a big machlokas whether the water in our toilets is Mekabel Toma or not Mekabel Toma. A big machlokas. And Lemaisa, very willing paskins that, and many paskin that it's a big machlokas. We assume that the water in our toilets is not Mekabel Toma. even though regular water is makabel tuma, but the water in our toilets is not makabel tuma. What? Because mechaber l'karka.
I mean, this is called mechaber l'karka.
Yeah. Yeah, meaning that the toilet is clearly mechaber l'karka. The toilet's mechaber l'karka, and the water in the toilet is also water in karka. And water in karka is not makabel tuma. Another big machlokas is what about plastic? Is plastic makabel tuma or not? I'm not sure exactly how often this comes up. But there's a very nice sefer, by the way, just has nice summaries of these things, called Chokuzman. I got it because it was written by the son of someone who learned at the Kolo. There's an old fellow, I mentioned this, who retired and came to the Gros Kolo to learn. And his son wrote this very nice sefer about different inyanim in Hilchos Nida. One of them is he gets into all the modern day Mekabel Tuma, Ein Mekabel Tuma questions. How about plastic? Let's say you have something mamish made of plastic. So it's a big machlokas whether plastic is mekabel tuma or not. Most poskim, paskin, this is the Masorah from the Chazon Ish, even though it's, you know, perhaps not so explicit. Most poskim, paskin, that plastic is not mekabel tuma because it's not one of the materials mentioned in the Torah that's mekabel tuma. Rav Moshe Feinstein is machmir a little. He says if the plastic is made of plants, of plant material, then it's considered kli eitz. And a kli eitz is mekabel tuma as well. If what? Kli eitz mekabel tuma if? If it has base killing, right? That was not a trick question. Right, so Rav Moshe's machmir, the plastic is, if it's made from plants and it has base kibble, it's mekabel tuma, it's a kli eitz. Okay, based on the Chazon Ish, and I think most modern-day poskim assume that plastic is never mekabel tuma. Lemaisa, most of our plastic is not made from plants anyway. So lemaisa, we assume all plastic is not mekabel tuma for all halachic purposes. So a ketzem on plastic, we would not worry about. Even though, according to Rav Moshe, would have been machmir if the plastic is made of plants and had a base kibble. But most poskim are mako, even if it's made of plants and has a base kibble, they say plastic is a new material, is not considered kli eitz. That's the interesting machlokas, because Rav Moshe says plastic is considered kli eitz if it's made from plants. And the, you know, the Chazon Ish and the Shevet HaLevi and others hold that no, plastic is a new thing. And it's not mekabel tuma. Lemaisa, almost all of our plastic is made from petroleum anyway. So for sure not mekabel tuma. So we assume plastic is not mekabel tuma. The more interesting question is, what about synthetic garments? What about synthetic clothing? Meaning synthetic clothing is made of plastic, right? There's natural clothing. Natural clothing is made of wool, cotton, linen, most commonly cotton, you know, something that grows on an animal or a plant, right? What about synthetic clothing? What are synthetic clothing? Polyester, rayon, etc., are all made of plastic. All synthetic clothing is made of plastic. So what about synthetic clothing? Is it different because it was woven into clothing? So this is a big machlokas. The Shevet HaLevi and most poskim say synthetic clothing is not mekabel tuma. Synthetic clothing is not mekabel tuma. The Rav Moshe says, he says, L'shitasei, Sefer Moshe says, if it's made of plant material, then even though it doesn't have a base kibble, but something that's made of plants that's woven is mekabel tuma. Okay, that's a big question. Is woven cotton mekabel tuma? The rice, the rabbanan, big machlokas. Lemaisa says Rav Moshe, he says if it's made from plants, it's mekabel tuma. If it's made from petroleum, it's not. And the big mach, and most of our synthetic clothing is made from petroleum, although, you know, maybe it changes sometimes. The big machmer is the Minchas Yitzchak. Minchas Yitzchak, Rav Yaakov Weiss. If you want the Marmakomas, the Igros Moshe is Chelek Gimel, Simen Nun Gimel. The Minchas Yaakov is Chelek Dalet, Simen Kuf Yud Ches. The Shevet Halevi is right here in the Shiurim on Hilchos Nida. In this Sefer Chukos Mani, quote, the vast majority of posts were Mekel Lagamrei. The big machber is the Minchas Yiftek. Except the Minchas Yiftek, there's a special Toma called Beged, and anything made into a Beged is Mekabel Toma, no matter where it comes from. A Beged made of anything is Mekabel Toma. What does he mean by Beged? He doesn't mean something you wear. It's very clear that if you wear weird things made from fish, etc., they're not Mekabel Toma. What he means is anything woven. Anything woven as Cholos Beged is Mekabel Toma. So just to give you some idea, what about synthetic clothing? Says in the Chasidut, he's a bit of a shitas yachid. He said woven equals mekabel toma. Says the Igros Moshe, he says no. If it's from a plant, then it's mekabel toma. If it's from, most of them are made of petroleum, of oil. I know they don't look like oil, but that's what they're made of. Then it's, not Mekabel Toma. And the Shevet Halevi here says, nope, it's just not Mekabel Toma. Because it is plastic, and plastic's not Mekabel Toma. He says just like a plastic kli. Okay, halacha l'maisa, we are making on this. We're not chokshesh for the Minchas Yitzchak. Most of our clothing is not even made of plants. And we assume that...
is glitter part the entire thing?
But here's one. Okay, one second. Let's see. We posken that synthetic clothing we assume is not Mekabel Toma. However, here's where it gets tricky l'maisa. It's mefurish in Shas that if you have a combination of synthetic and natural clothing, it's Mekabel Toma. Even the synthetic part. So therefore, halacha l'maisa with era synthetic clothing, I don't know. One has to be a little nervous because sometimes it might have a combination. Like, for example, it could be in synthetic clothing, but sewed with natural thread, because the thread they sew it with, maybe it's better to use a cotton thread, which is our normal thread that we buy, in the sewing store. So halacha l'maisa, most synthetic clothing also has some natural part, so you would not have this kula. So halacha l'maisa, it's hard, but it does not go after roof. It goes, there's a whole discussion in the postgame, maybe it depends. If you would mix them all together and then spin them into threads, etc., maybe you go by the rope. But clearly, in the examples we can think of, no, you have different parts. This part is synthetic, and this one string is natural. It's not bottle rope. It doesn't go by rope. Some things go by rope even that bit, like Hilchos Brachos, for example. This doesn't go by rope. We paskin for sure that, and therefore, halacha l'maisa, the kula of synthetic clothing is not such a good kula here. I will.
Even if it stands clearly on the
only
synthetic
part? Yes, exactly. Here I will read you just from the Sefer Chokos Man. Here we are. The Mishnah in Kalim says, Ha'ose Kalim in a Godav Yam, even if you make Kalim for something that comes from the sea. Anything that comes from the sea is like the most Iker Tara possible. The Chibalim in a Godav Arts, a Filo Chut, and you attach them from something that grows on the ground, even one Chut. Even if you put one chut of mekabel toma, it is tame. And the Mishnah Melech says both parts are tame. Both parts are tame, and we find other things similar to this in other areas of toma. If you have things made of stone and metal, then it's all Mekabel Toma. Okay, it gets more complicated, but Lemaisa, here it seems pretty accepted by the postkin that Lemaisa, it's hard to use these kulas, especially since Davka nowadays, most of the most of the stains are in underwear, and in most underwear, they make the crotch out of cotton anywhere, women's underwear, anyway, just for extra comfort and absorption, et cetera. And it's hard, I don't know, Lamaisa, it's hard to know that there isn't any, you know, women have to do some investigation. And you can't just see something up on the kula if you could investigate and just are too lazy to investigate it. Because like you could call the company, you could probably find out. Anyway, halacha lemaisa, it's hard to use this kula unless you have something that you know is like purely artificial, which it's hard for me to imagine how you would ever know that. There's a guy in Gris a few years ago who decided that he wanted to make a whole initiative to make a kind of underwear for a woman who's having trouble getting to mikvah because she has a lot of ksamen. That lakala poskim, that even for someone who's machber, like all the most machber poskim, and therefore he invented some kind of underwear that's made of 100% synthetic material, and it's not even woven. It's just like stretched out plastic. And, you know, while it doesn't seem like such a chop, anyone can take plastic and make clothing out of it, but then you also have to make it comfortable for wearing, which seems like a big challenge, but somehow I think he worked it out. Michael Goldman knows all about this. He's his partner. So someone once invented a purely synthetic underwear that is even Yotzei Minchas Yitzchak, because it's not woven plastic, it's just a sheet of plastic. And then Likuli Alma, it would be not Mekabel Ksamim. So if someone wants to have all the chumers of the world, they can buy that. However, we don't have to have all the chumers in the world, so we don't have to worry about that, because we'll see. We have another kula in a moment. But halacha lemaisa, it's hard to rely on this, because only if it doesn't have any like cotton in it, and a lot of things are probably just sewn with cotton thread. Yeah, I don't know how it works in the factories. You have to ask how it works in the factories, but you'd have to make sure that it has no natural part in it, and I think that's not so common. So lemaisa, it's hard to be makel in synthetic clothing without doing a lot of research. Okay, what's the big machlokas? The big machlokas is this paper, which is discussed here in the Pesachim Shuva. Right? The Pesachim Shuva of Katan Yud Ches has a long discussion of paper. And the Rambam writes, Pasha, that paper is not makabel tumah. However, the Rambam's paper was different from our paper, because the Rambam's paper was just like smoothed out leaves. So that's not Makabel Tumah. Our paper is, they like grind up stuff. Again, in their days, they would often grind up old rags or they pulp wood. And then they, all right, I don't really know how they make paper. Once I was in fifth grade, they taught me, but I forgot. But you understand, it's not like just dried out leaves. It's made of fibers which are mushed together to make paper. So one of the fibers are mushed together to make paper is a big, tremendous machlokas, haposkim, whether it's makabel tumah, whether it is not makabel tumah, and the note of Yehuda has a big chomer that our modern day paper is makabel tumah because he holds me didn't beg it. Right, meaning what would it be in Kabbal Tumah? Meaning, even if you want to say it's Kli Eitz, it doesn't have a base kippah. So why would it be in Kabbal Tumah? I'm not talking about a cardboard box. Okay, cardboard box might be, if it's made out of trees and has a base kippah, that's not so crazy to say it's in Kabbal Tumah. It's also machlokes, because maybe it gets a new identity when it's made into paper. Okay, but we're not talking about a cardboard box. We're talking about like tissues and toilet paper and things like that. So says the Nodi Huda, why would it be Kabbal Tumah? He says, because the beged, how is it a beged? It's not woven. He says, but if you know a Hilchos Kabbalas Tumah, there's something called levad. Levad. I'm not sure what the proper nekudas are. It means felt. What is felt? Felt is, we all know what felt is, what black hats are made of. Black hats are made of felt. They're made of the same kind of fibers you could make into clothing. You know, whatever, different black hats are made of different things, doesn't matter. But instead of taking fibers and spinning them into thread and then weaving them up and down and sideways, warp and woof, what felt does, and here again, I'm reaching the limits of my industrial knowledge. What you do is you take all the fibers and you somehow like get them wet and mush them in a way that the tiny little fibers curl up and curl into each other and hold onto each other so tight that when you dry it, it becomes like a black hat, which is much harder than a shirt, right? Why is it much harder than a shirt? Because a shirt, you just weave it this way and that way, and it's still very flexible. And here, you like somehow wet it and dry it so that all the different fibers, they like take hold of each other on a very tiny level, microscopic level, and that makes it very hard. That's called felt. Okay, so said the Nuyuta, that's how they make paper. They take tiny little fibers and they make them stick to each other. They mush them together, make them stick to each other. And halakhically, that's considered a garment, right? We paskin levadim are mekabel tuma, right? The black hat is mekabel tuma. It has a beged, not just a garment, but all kinds of tuma, because it's considered a beged, even though it's not woven. Felt also counts as a beged. And the note of Yehuda's chiddush was, since felt counts as a beged, therefore, and he says, beged doesn't mean you have to wear it, right? I understand you don't wear it. A tablecloth is also a beged, right? Even though you don't wear it, because it's made b'derech beged. So paper is also made b'derech beged. And therefore, he says that it is Mekabel Toma. That's the big Chiddush of Yehuda. Then there's a lot of discussion of this. It gets into some very, very, very hard. He's talking about modern day paper. Yes. Nodi Yehuda had modern day paper. Mm-hmm. How is our paper made? Again, it's a little different. His paper was made, you took old rags and you crush them up, you make it. Modern day paper, you just take trees and you crush them up and make it. But it's a similar process. That's the whole question. Maybe he only said it by temper and pishtim, not by other plants. But many post-Gemara Machmer, even by other plants, all plants count like temper and pishtim. Clearly, you know, that's the whole question. Remember by Hilchos Tzitzis, right? You have to be Machmer to wear wool tzitzis or not if you want to be Yotzei L'Choladeos Midoraisa, right? The whole question. Are the garments made of other plant materials, Mekabel Toma Midoraisa, right? They consider begging Midoraisa or not, but at the very least, Midorabana, maybe even Midoraisa, probably some sort of fake of a Chumra, maybe any type of plant material at least, or animal material is Mekabel Toma Midoraisa as a begging, and even if not, maybe Toma Midorabana counts. Halach Lamaisa, this is a big machlokas. He quotes here that the Chassam Sofer disagreed and held that it's not called clothing, because paper is something totally different than regular than regular clothing. Okay, this is a big machlokes about paper. Halacha l'maisa, tremendous machlokes about paper. Halacha l'maisa, how did that affect us? It's pretty rare to have a kesama like a piece of loose leaf paper, right? That's pretty uncommon to have a kesama on a piece of loose leaf paper or a book or something. I don't know if I've ever gotten such a shaila. I must admit, in this sefer, Chokuzman, he quotes that he thinks that Rove Poskim disagree with the note of Yehuda and say if you did find kesem on loose leaf paper, it would be tahar. However, that's not so relevant because we pass like the Igros Moshe. Says the Igros Moshe in Chelek Gimel, Siman and Gimel, as well as some other places. He says the whole discussion, the note of Yehuda versus the Chassam Sofer and all the people on both sides of that machlokas in very complicated Hilchos Taharos is all irrelevant to us because they were talking about regular paper. Regular paper is at least bechlal kli because it's made for continued use. However, there's the same kula as we don't have the tovel. Chad pami, right? The chad pami aluminum pans, you don't have the tovel. Why? Because if something is disposable, it's not considered a kli halachli, it's not mekabel toma. So says Rav Moshe, that has nothing to do with us. The note of you who's talking about mamish paper. But we're not talking about paper. We never have shilos of loose leaf paper or books. Our shilos are all toilet paper and tissues. Toilet paper and tissues are not a clean in the first place because you can't reuse them. Because once you use them, you have to throw them in the garbage. And therefore, they're not considered clean. They're not makabel toma because anything disposable is not makabel toma. And the vast majority of poskim pasken like promotion nowadays, that even though in this sefer he quotes from lots and lots of achronim, who pasken even on strong reusable paper. You know, even on a...
what makes, how do you find when it's not reusable? Meaning like you took your paper and you, your daughter scribbled all over it, like you're not going to use it again. Like it's not, there's no purpose. Meaning like...
You could ruin anything. But the point, you can ruin anything. But the point is, what do you do with paper? You write things on it and you use it to read many times. You could add to it. You could subtract from it. You could keep it around to read 100 times. Paper is meant to be used for a long time. You could dispose of anything, but paper is meant to, you don't have papers at home from 10 years ago, right? I have papers at home from a lot more than 10 years ago, right? So I have my notebook from Reverend Strike's year, from 25 years ago, and I still open it sometimes and look at it, right? So that's it. Paper is made to be used a lot as opposed to disposable. So I think clear our paper. I know you could scribble something on paper and throw it out. But that doesn't mean that it's disposable. That means you could decide to throw it out or not. But clearly, paper is meant to be used for a long time. As opposed to tissues and toilet paper, which go straight in the garbage. Halacha l'maisa. We pass like promotion that we don't worry about kabbalas tuma, which means that if you find a kestem on the tissue or toilet paper after wiping, after going to the bathroom, we pass it's not makabel tuma because most achronim are against the Nevi Yehuda and hold that paper is not makabel tuma, and B, even if paper was makabel tuma, we for sure pass like promotion that disposable is not makabel tuma, and therefore it's considered makabel tuma. All the Sidrei Tara would say, since it's in your hand is makabel tumas masa, but all the poskim assume we don't worry about tumas masa, and therefore, since the stain itself was on something that's not makabel tuma, we don't worry about it, which is why we're not worried about kabbalas tuma by toilet paper. The only question is what we discussed a couple of shiurim ago. Are you worried about chashash hargasha? And that we already discussed. Yeah.
Somebody wrote notes on the napkin, right? In theory, they would keep that napkin also for many years. So is it just the old?
It could be that if someone changes the use of a napkin, they can make it into a kli. But again, that's pretty. You understand that hardly ever happens because napkins really aren't meant to be used that way. Yes, you can change the usage of something. But that doesn't mean that napkins are not disposable there. It just means that you decided to make an exception.
Are wipes included in tissue paper?
I think wipes are included in tissue
paper.
They're not woven. What? Okay, so here, interesting question. What about wipes? So good question. So some wipes are, wipes might be woven for all I know. I'm not a bucky in how they make wipes. Some wipes might even have some cotton in them. Which again might not be worse than just wood. Even if they're woven, we pass like Ramosha that if it's disposable, it's not makabel toma. Obviously, most woven things are not disposable. I don't even know if wipes are woven, but if you would have a woven thing that's disposable, we could still pass it, it's not makabel toma, and therefore it would not be a problem. This also is relevant to the question of feminine hygiene products, of a panty liner or a pad. What's a panty liner or a pad? It is just an absorbent white thing that has like a sticker backing, stick onto your underwear, and it absorbs anything that comes out of the osomakom and makes the woman more comfortable. It could be blood, could be any type of discharge of any of the various types of yarok or lavan, et cetera, that were mentioned. The difference is that a panty liner is a thin one, which is used when there's very, very little absorption, very little discharge. Just, you know, it's much more hygienic and pleasant to have it absorbed in something. And a pad is a thick one, which is used for a heavier discharge, such as the flow of a period, let's say. There's no difference in terms of ksamim, but the difference would be, remember we mentioned once that if there's a flow of blood, then that's already considered the equivalent of a hargasha, and then you wouldn't apply the rules of ksamim. Okay, one nice rule of thumb might be that if a woman needs to put on a pad instead of a panty liner, then again, maybe that woman's weird. But in general, if a woman needs to put on a pad instead of a panty liner, we assume that means that she has her period, she has a flow of, I don't care if it's her period, she has a flow of blood, and that would be a toma d'oraisa and beyond ksamek. If she puts on a pad, I mean, she needs to. But for our purposes, we'll treat them the same. What about a pad? Is a pad mekabel toma or is it not mekabel toma? So, what? So there are two svaras that you could say why it's mekabel toma. Either you could say it's in and of itself mekabel toma, or you could say that it becomes batel to the underwear because you stick it onto the underwear. Of course, the tricky part is you only stick it on for a very short time. You don't stick it on for a long time. Halacha lemaisa, okay, he also has a whole discussion of this. I guess there's no Hebrew word for pad, so he just writes pay dalet, pad. But he quotes many, many poskim who say that it's mutter. Why? Because he quotes based on Ramosha. Ramosha didn't specifically discuss a pad, but he said it's disposable, right? Meaning you use it once and then you throw it in the garbage. You use it once and throw it in the garbage. You never save it after you use it. And therefore,
well, it seems like Ramosha is disposable, not focused.
Okay, here he doesn't always quote, he quotes who's makel is machmir, he doesn't always quote the reason as to whether it's disposable or not. So the answer is, I'm not sure. Meaning he quotes a lot of people who are makel. He doesn't say why everyone's makel. So I don't want to promise you. You can look here. Maybe you could sort of look everything up and see. Lemaisa, he quotes many, many poskim who say that a pad is not mekabel toma. And we paskin that a pad is not mekabel toma. Okay, there's a machlokes about that. It's funny, the Shirishiv and Levi here says not mekabel toma, but one should be machmir. So it's not exactly clear what the spur was for that. Whatever. Anyway, Lemaisa, he doesn't quote Machmirim here. He doesn't quote Machmirim here, but I saw in the Shoshavid Alevi, he says he thinks it's Mutter, but Ein Lahakel. I'm not sure what that means, why that was. It was a sort of funny line. They also quote from Lemaisa, look, there are two stories you can be making on a pad. You could be like remotely disposable. The reason I'm not sure is because you could just say it's not makabel to mastam, because even though pads have cotton in them, but it's not a bagot. So I'm not sure why everyone he quotes here. What? It's not woven. What?
Being used as a
no. That doesn't matter. It matters if it's made in the if it's made by the process of making a baguette. To be baguette has to be made in the process of making a baguette. Means it has to be made in a certain way.
There's no base kibble.
No, a baguette doesn't need a base kibble. Because you need, first of all, they don't all have 3x3, he points out, but you some have 3x3, some don't. So you can't make that a general rule. But because he thinks that since it's not made by weaving, it's made like we make paper, it's not mekabel toma. Because that process is not called a baguette. Yeah. Anyway, halacha lemaisa, you could look this up. You could look up the Sheva Halevi here. He quotes here from a bunch of poskim who say Padre Ramakabal Toma. He says he heard this from Scheinberg, and he's understood this from the Shechot Hashani, even though people argue about him. And he heard this from Rosh Shlomo Zalman Ullman and from other poskim. Yeah. He's a, I think he's, I'm not sure if he's still around. He was a big posek, maybe. I don't remember if he was in July, okay, it's safer. I think people developed a perfect. Anyway, Kitzer, okay. Kitzer, we have to move on. We possibly have not Makabal Toma. Again, Moshe, Michael's friend, assumes that we have to be Machber. Maybe a pad is Makabal Toma. That's why he made this new kind of underwear. But we assume that a pad is not Makabal Toma. And therefore, if a woman sees a kesem on her underwear, that would be Bidin Tomas Ksamen. But if it's on a pad, then it is not included in Dine Tomas Ksamen.
Don't they just generally wear pads when they're having their flow, which is going to be telling anyway.
Pads women generally wear when they're having their flow, which is really not. That's right. If a woman puts in a pad, she's usually having a flow. Again, unless she put it by mistake or something. But there's also panty liners, which are thin versions. The panty liners, some women wear every day all month long because they have discharges of different colors. I mean, the color doesn't matter, or just for comfort. Like women can wear any time for comfort. Yeah, panty liner is much more common because that's what women wear if they don't have a flow.
The lot will start when they're expecting.
Yeah, but I'll get it. Well, we could put in the pad because she thinks she's going to get a period and then doesn't.
But then she could have something.
And then doesn't. Okay. Right. So, you know, you could easily have such. But Lamaisa, we're making it's not Makabal Toma.
Is there discusses, can you make something not? Because, like, can you decide that it's now disposable? Like, objectively, it's not. I'll throw it out.
I don't think so. I think so, because it's really to be a kli. Just because rich people might throw out a lot of good kelim, but you know, I don't think that works.
You'd have to be mivatzel the kli, no?
What?
They could be mivatzel the kli, no? A shiur could be mivatzel.
No, you need a ma'aser to be mivatzel the kli in after this. What kind of ma'aser? It's not so pashut. Yeah, if you rip it enough or break it enough, maybe. But I don't know how practical that is.
According to that, should he have to total his room and those could for sure be as many times together.
Okay, look, this is very controversial. What do we assume is the sum of aluminum tins? How many times could you use them? How many times do people use them, etc.? But for sure, meaning, let's say, forget about aluminum. Let's say I bought a regular, this could easily happen. I'm someplace in wherever, and I don't have anything to eat with, so I go to the store in Estonia, and there's no chad pami in Estonia. Only rich countries have chad pami. You go to Estonia, there's no chad pami. So I go to a store and I buy a fork and a knife and a pot and whatever. I can't just decide I'm throwing them out in one day when my business meeting ends and then use them without tefillah. No, you can't do that. Aluminum pans are tricky because maybe they're a little bit in between. You know, they're not really right to be used many times. They're right to be used a few times. Some people throw them out, some people don't. Okay, so you should iron in aluminum pans. But clearly, if something is clearly useful many times, if something's a kli, you can't decide to throw it out and make it not a kli. No, that's for sure not. The thing with aluminum pads is maybe they're inherently not a kli, but you can make them into a kli, or they're inherently if you go either way. But you can't make a kli and not a kli. Okay, right. So that is basically we paskin that all of our paper products, certainly. The ones that you get stains on are not Makabal Toma. A, most akron dispute in Rabbi Yehuda, and B, disposable ones where Moshe and many others say are not Makabal Toma anyway. So our paper products, we don't worry about Kabbalah's Toma. The end of Sif Yud says, V'chein keser shintal beget sabua tahora. Likewise, on colored garments, labdavka garments, colored any kli. Anything found on a colored kli, a kesem is for on a colored kli. This is also machlokes tanoim, and it's even a machlokes rishonim. How to paskin in this machlokes tanoim? As a matter of fact, the Peskei Tshuva here brings down that the Dogomer Vava, who's on the side here, says very strange. After all, the Gosma money is quoted from Benu Simcha and either Ravan or Ramban. It's, the gears always gets messed up there. That maybe that just meant that the Beged is tar, but the Isha is Tomeya, or the Ramban is just Machmir. And this Machlok Tanarim. So he quotes Machlok Rishonim, how we paskin. It's Machlok Tanarim, Machlok Rishonim, but Halach Lamaisa, even though the note of Yehuda wonders why we're Makel and leans towards being Machmir, we are Makel Bevadai. All the other poskim are Makel, and that's what the Pesach Tshuva quotes in the Tshuva Me'ava, that in Lahachmir. Halacha lemaisa, we are makel on colored clothing, bevadai, or any other colored kli. We already mentioned the discussion of what if it's half colored, half not. We won't mention that again. What's considered colored? First of all, the poskim assume, I don't know my remarkable for this, but the poskim assume this only applies to a kli. On the guf, there's no heter of tzavua. So no matter what color a woman is, if she finds blood on her guf, then that's still a problem. So that's cool. It was only if it's found on a beged, not if it's one of the many cases where we're machmer on the guf. What? Meaning they're no worse off than anyone else. Correct. Right. But meaning even if a woman's black, she doesn't have an automatic heter on any blood on her body. This heter is only if it's on a clean, not if it's on her body. On her body, she's the same as a white woman. The post-com assume that even a light color counts as a color, but it has even a light blue, even a light pink, etc. But it still has to be a color. If something's off-white or like a light beige, then it still counts as white. So again, white doesn't have to be white like fresh snow. It could be off-white, but a light color, light brown or light blue or light anything else, that's already a color. Okay, where to draw the line? So you have to figure out where to draw the line. Use your common sense. Any color that's really called a color and not just, you know, an off-white.
Light gray
is a color. I mean, again, at a certain point, light gray really becomes a kind of white, you know. Where to draw the line? Usually it's obvious.
Yeah, obvious because now it's not clear that it's red.
Because usually it's obvious because most things are. No, the reason is because they couldn't tell if it was the right shade of red or not in the old days. But we have to draw the line. The point is, even white clothing sometimes gets dingy, etc. If it's a shade of white, then there goes Erksamim. It's a shade of something else they weren't.
Now that we're mapping all shades of red, before even like light blue, they're like pink, like all the colors.
Yes, but it doesn't matter because they weren't gozer on big gates of Onim.
And then, so the sphere of colors is really not telling that point anymore.
Correct. It's just part of the Xera. That's the Xera. There are some humors about this.
Putting your hands out, they would choose the Machmir, I know.
No, colors are different from Gris. Gris is a Kliya, colors is a Gzera. Okay, there is a big Chumra. The Chassam Sofer in the Sifkat Nechaf Aleph says that underwear has no clue of color. Color is only on your skirt, but on your underwear, since it's so close to the Makar, there's no Kula, but no one's Choshesh for that. No one's choshish for that. Some sofer, and even that some sofer might be only lechatchila. You shouldn't wear it. But anyway, we're not choshish for that. Lamaisa, we assume some sofer says at least lechatchila you shouldn't use the heter of colored in underwear. We posit the heter of color applied even to underwear, and therefore, if you can get underwear that's colored, that's not so posh, it has to be colored in the crotch. But if you can get colored underwear, you should try to find colored underwear, and that is the that's the best bet. Because of this, therefore, says the Ramah, this is not just a cooler for those b'di'evad, for those who aren't such a reshamayim. No, lechatchila, a woman should wear colored clothing in order to save herself from ksamim. Sam Sofer says, not underwear, just skirts. But we paskin, everyone else passes even underwear. Here, there's a bit of a kasha, because this comes from the Rambam. That's the parenthesis here, Rambam. Uvigmar perka isha. It's a little tricky, because as he also points out, the Gemara says, really? They made a takana for big day tzivonim? No, they didn't. Said, no, they were mater big day tzivonim. Meaning, the Gemara says it's a heter, not a chiyuv. But the Rambam says the chiyuv, tilbashe isha big day tzivonim. So that's a kasha. The Gemara says the heter, the Rambam says the chiyuv. And there are two ways to defend the Rambam. Beis Yosef says that really that was only in the Havi in the Gemara, but really we don't pass like that line in the Gemara. We pass get a chiyuv. However, the Toras HaShlamim says maybe even a better answer. Toras HaShlamim right here in Yudalid says that even Beis Yosef said the Rambam says a chiyuv, it's against the Gemara. And then he has to say we don't pass like that line in the Gemara. But okay, I don't know if maybe he has a pshat in the Ramah. He says that it's not a chiyuv, it's an Eitzah Tova. Okay, it's not against the Gemara. The Gemara says the heter, a heter, and an Eitzah Tova is not a stira. So the Toras HaShlamim, we pass like the Toras HaShlamim, that it's not a chiyuv like the Beis Yosef understands from the Ramah, and it's not just a heter like pshat of the Gemara. Rather, it is an Eitzah Tova. Chazal said you don't have to do anything, but they're giving you good advice towards Tzvonim, therefore, woman should always try to find colored underwear to save herself from ksamim. It's a little funny and say, well, isn't the whole point that the chazal were gozer, that if you have blood, you should have there are gozer on it? No, there are gozer when the gzer is chal. But you don't have to get the gzer to be chal. Basically, if you can find a technical way out of ksamim, then chazal encourage that. That's basically what we see here. They don't require it, but they encourage it. Because since ksamim is rabbanan, we don't have to make an effort to find some. We have to make an effort, or at least an Eitzah Tova, to make an effort to avoid ksamim. The last thing I want to mention is the Pesukei Teshuvos and Katan Chaf Beis has two issues. Number one, he said that this is only in that this is only all month long. But in Yemeni Dasa, Yemeli Buna, not. Okay, it's not exactly clear what he means by Yemeni Dasa. But Yemeli Buna, certainly during the Shiva Nikiyam, you cannot wear color to save yourself from Ksamim, because the whole Takana of the Shiva Nikiyam we'll see is that you have to wear white clothing. So during Shiva Nikiyam, she has to wear white and not save herself from Ksamim, because Shiva Nikiyam is wear Chaver, she has to always be checking. However, that's not so pashut. The Maharsham in his Das Torah in the Shulchan Aruch here is Mekel, B'Shas Hadchak. Halacha L'maisa, we say, if it's a big Shas Hadchak, then even during Shiva Nikiyam, a woman can wear color to save herself from Ksamim. It's certainly not L'chachila. L'chachila were machmer like the Amudei Kesef that's quoted here in the Pesachei Tshuva. In general, we're machmer or white in Shiva Nikiyam, we'll see. Later on, some kofzadik vav, but if the big shas hadchak, a woman will never go to mikvah, it'll be bad for a lot of things, etc. Then, if you're really stuck and you have no choice, then a woman could wear colored during Shiva Nikiyam to save herself from ksamim against this amudei kesef. But that's only for the big shas hadchak. Yes, Eitan. Good. So, but Rabbi Willing says, you know what? If it's such a big shas hadchak, better than wearing color during Shiva Nikiyam, wear a pad or a panty liner during Shiva Nikiyam. It's not makabel tuma. Why? It's really not so much better. You're trying to get like some during Shiva Nikiyam, which is not makachila. However, it's a little better because in Kuf Tzadik Vav, the Ramah says you should wear white, and no one ever said you should wear makabel tuma. Now, just to be fair, it's because they really have an option to wear a Kabbalah Tova. But nonetheless, or maybe there's other reasons. Halakha L'maisa, what if it's a big Shas Hadchak? And a woman, she, obviously, we should try, look at Kiva. No, during Shiva Nikiyam, she should try to make sure she's clean and have the rules of Ksamim apply. What if it's a big Shas Hadchak? Then she could wear colored, but better if she has the option to wear something not Kabbalah Tova, like a pad, because that's not mefurish against the Shulchan Aruch, the way that we're in color is.
Would I encourage just any woman taking birth control and then we'll circumvent potential issues? I mean, it comes out.
You mean not during Shiva Nikiyam?
During Shiva Nikiyam.
Because only in a big Shas Hadchak we're making on Shiva Nikiyam. So only in a big shas of kach ruling in lishus. Depends how big of a shas of kach it is. Even for the pats. Even for the pats. Again, there's enough down in the poskim. They don't have pats. But I asked very willing. He says b'shas ad chak, we can be makel to wear colored or better pats. But either way, only b'shas ad chak to avoid some mishum nikiyim. Lechad chila, you should take a chance on some during mishum nikiyim. And if you find a kesem, you'll start mishum nikiyim again. But if that's not possible, if it's too big of a shas ad chak, then you could wear pads. And if you don't have pads, you could wear colored. You mean like your friends? Yes, that's he only made that for Shas Ad Chak. He didn't make that for everyone to wear, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure he only made it for Shas Ad Chak, not for everyone to wear, but for women who otherwise would not be able to make it to mikvah in any reasonable fashion, depending on the circumstances. You know, what's a Shas Ad Chak? Everyone has a difference, you know, for some people, if she's not going to make the mikvah as soon as possible, maybe that's a big shas adchak. For most people, if it's going to take a very long time to make the mikvah, that's a big shas adchak. However, I did this very willingly with this question. What if a woman always wears a panty liner? Not to get out of ksamin, just because she's uncomfortable without a panty liner because of other discharge. You know, she always wears a panty liner because she's just uncomfortable because of other things, nothing to do with blood. So what if she's wearing a panty liner not to get out of ksamin? So is that a problem with Shem Nikiyim? And Rabbi Willick says, no, if she's wearing it not to get out of ksamin, then that's not a problem with Shem Nikiyim. But if she's wearing to get out of ksamin, that's only mutter if it's a real shas ad chak. And mele we'd make on ksamin as well. Correct. Meaning she doesn't have to be uncomfortable during Shiva Nikiyam. There's no halacha that she has to suffer during Shiva Nikiyam because she's not allowed to wear a panty line. If she wears it because it's uncomfortable, it's sour for her to not have it, then she'll have to do Shiva Nikiyam. And as a side effect, the ksamim aren't matami her. However, she's wearing it in order to get out of ksamim, and that's only mutter if it's a real shas ad chak. Okay, the last thing in this Pesach Yitzchak Beis is, he quotes here, that maybe we have a chumer the first 3 days of Shiva Nikiyam. We're not tolek summon in other things. So he says, maybe the first 3 days of Shiva Nikiyam we're machmer and summon uncolored. But we don't pass in that way. And some Kuf Tzadi Vav, the Pesachei Tshuva brings down to the Me'il Tzedakah. I think the third Pesachei Tshuva in Kuf Tzadi Vav, or maybe I'm wrong. It is the, 1 second, I wrote it down. The 12th Pesachei Tshuva in Kuf Tzadi Vav. Nirapashat lahatir b'ksamim hanimtsam b'beget tzavua tok gimel yon. Okay, and then the footnote, at least in my footnote, not the original, says cross-references it. Footnote here probably also cross-references it, or at least it should. There it says, v'ayin mashe kesavti l'kam, and it's cut in the face, he referenced himself, he said, l'maitza, yeah, and the yamudei kesav is machar, we're meiko. We assume the heter of colored applies even during the first 3 days of Shiva Nikiyam. Basically, all the theorem of Ksamim we assume apply during the first 3 days of Shiva Nikiyam, except for Tzaliyah. So much for Beged Shein Mekabel Tuma and Beged Tzavua, which are very, very lumaisa.
Is there anything wrong with black color? That's going to be really
fun. No, black is wonderful. Black is great.
What's a Havamina to say that part of the Shiva Nikiyam would be different?
The Chumra, the Mordechai that we've saw once, we'll see again a couple times, who said during the first 3 days of Shiva Nikiyam, she's still like Bechevkach Tumah, she needs to prove that she's not bleeding, and therefore if you find a Kesem, you're not Tola it on something else, you assume it's blood, and you're Matami her. And some Achronim, based on that, said, well, then none of the kulos of ksamim apply in the first 3 days. The first 3 days, we always assume it's dam nida, we're atomic, right? But we don't pass that way. We pass in that all the kulos of ksamim that are based on a formal later exera, they were only goes in this case, not in that case, apply even in the first 3 days. It's only when you mamish have a suffix where it came from, then you have to be machmer in the first 3 days. But if it doesn't matter where it came from, just the exera was to be makel, like it's on a makabel tuma or on something colored, or for us, based on what we had on the board last time, or even if it's less than a gris, then it's mutter even in the first 3 days. That's how we pass it. If, again, a case that's a little less common nowadays that we have underwear, if, let's take a case in the old days, she finds blood in her skirt, and it could be damida, but she also went to the butcher store, and it could be from shechting the cows.
We have like folks in that the way to establish the fact of the railroad is to have to tie in that either the first day. Would we take this part of their finer than Mordechai right that first day?
No, because the mice, so when it comes to this, we are meaning like the Mordechai. I mean, yes, theoretically, but our meaning is like the Mordechai for this, for Leah's Sukkot. Okay, Viter, let's try to run through some of these. I know there's a lot of Beis Yosef and Sukkis on this. The rest of these, the next bunch of Se'ifim are not super Lamaisa nowadays. Because they invented underwear. Right now, they invented underwear. Nowadays, two things are different. A, they invented underwear. B, there's a lot less blood and stuff just floating around the belt. For example, if you go to a butcher shop nowadays, they're not slaughtering anything there. They're just selling you things wrapped in plastic. Or maybe, you know, like chopping, you know, like meat that they unwrap from the plastic into, you know, to three pieces. There's, in general, we live in a much cleaner world. And also we have underwear. So, like, generally, like if you find a stain, you find an underwear. Obviously, that's potentially damaged, and probably not from anywhere else. Probably, but let's go through some of these halachos nonetheless. Yod Aleph. Lo b'chol makom she'yimtsum kesem tmei al makom she'efshar shebashlam min ha'makor. Not everywhere on her body is she finds blood is tamei. Only some places it could have dripped from the makor. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Ketzad nimtza ala keiva tmei. If she finds it on her heel, she's tmeya, although the Taz points out why. How does it drip onto her heel from the makor? For people who like sit cross-legged on the floor. Okay, if you don't sit cross-legged on the floor, then that wouldn't apply. Or if you wear underwear while you sit cross-legged on the floor, lechor, that wouldn't apply. If it's not in your underwear, then it didn't go from the makor magically onto your heel. V'chenem nimtza kol orch shokar bar sesame tmeim, all of her upper or lower leg on the inside, what counts the inside? When you stand like Shemona Esrei, right? What sticks to the, what's touching the other leg? Likewise, found on the top of her big toe. Then it could fall from the mocker. The kolshkin are a glad mamish, and for sure on the rest of her foot. Okay, this itself is it's controversial. Really, only the big toe, or even the rest of the foot. Again, doesn't come up a ton. Nowadays. The Bach wants to say that maybe on top of your foot would not be, it can't fall from the makor. I mean, I guess they didn't just do start to experiments. Or maybe only part of the top of your foot, not the other part. What about the other toes? Again, not that it comes up a ton, but we pass like the Torah Shlomim, who says we're machmer on the top of her foot, but we're making on the other toes. Okay, I've never gotten such a shayla. Continuing, likewise found on her hands, even on her knuckles, like not on her fingertips, because hands go everywhere. Okay, here's a big machlok. The Rashi says, what do you mean? Your hands don't touch ba'osel makom. Like, I know yadayim askanio saying, but you don't usually stick your hands in the genitals. That's not cleanliness. It's not hygienic. And he says, no, here it only means the woman who did a bdika. But we paskin, like the other Rishonim was saying, no. Even if you don't mamish, you don't want to get your hand, you want to be hygienic, and you don't stick your hands in your genitals all the time, you could put your hands near the osel makom where blood would fall on them. And therefore, we yadayim askanio saying, any blood on your hands, shemanogu oso makom. And again, even if you're not doing it in a way that'll make your hands very dirty, it could be close enough that the blood will fall in it. It's found on the outside of your upper or lower legs, or studim means front and back, right, in this context, right, the outside where it's done by the front and back. The ain tzarich lomar lemalo yosamach. For sure, if it's found above the belt, then of course gravity couldn't have driven upwards. Then she's tahora, unless you go dashin is dakra, unless she knows she turned upside down. If she turned upside down, then of course it could have drifted downwards with gravity on the top of her body. Then she's tmeya, then even above the belt, she is tmeya. Because it could have drifted that way. Being whether the front or the back, it could have drifted frontwards or backwards as she was somersaulting or whatever else she was doing. Okay, stop here. What halachic principles have we learned here? I mean, one principle is it's common sense. A kesem is only tummy if it could have landed there from your body. Second halacha principle is yadayim askanim yosheim. We're familiar with that from other areas of halacha, right? That we assume your hands went everywhere. Third principle is implicit here, which is the shach says it's cutting your tests and the taz says it's cutting your bees. Hold on. If your hands could go everywhere, then your hands could have gone to Osomako. Let's say she finds blood on her shoulder. Okay, no problem. And she doesn't somersault. She's not a gymnast. No problem. Why? If hands go everywhere, the hands could have gone to the Osomako and then touched her shoulder. And therefore, it could have been the Osomako, right? Or anywhere else, right? She finds on the outside of her thigh. Couldn't have dripped there. Ah, but her hands could have gone to Osomako and then touched the outside of her thigh on the way, you know, afterwards. So the answer is very important. Look, principle, any machzik can be makom lemakom. We do not assume a two-step transfer. That's mean makom lemakom. We don't assume a two-step transfer, and therefore anything that's two steps we consider impossible. Not that it's impossible; anything's possible, but we're not choshish for it. Sort of like the rub shot in Sveik Sveika. It's possible, but we're not choshish for it. We're just not choshish for every possibility. You know, if you need two steps to get to the possibility, then we're not choshesh for it. So we're not choshesh for machzikim makom lemakom. That's an important halachic principle. Okay, the Pesach Chuvin Chav Gimel says, is yadayim askanim yosheim a rebuttable presumption or an irrebuttable presumption? And he quotes in the Sidrei Torah, it's a rebuttable presumption, meaning if you're sure your hands didn't go there, then you could say, I know my hands did it. Just min hastam, we assume yadayim askanim yosheim. Okay, that's a cool. If you're sure your hands didn't go there, it's okay. And maybe part of it is because he says, after all, the Rashba, in any case, doesn't hold yadayim askanim yosheim here. And therefore, there's more to be made. Okay, then he's got some other uncommon cases. Let's continue then. Here we have a new principle. Afilo avra b'shuk shal tabachim unus aska b'ksanim. This is what we call a tfliya. Right, she passed the shuk of the butchers, again, butchers in those days when they slaughtered the animals, or she dealt with stinks. This aska b'ksanim. In that case, she cannot be, normally we call that a tliya, right? There's a rule, again, it's a little funny because all of these se'ifim, many of these se'ifim assume we already know se'if yud ches. What is saying? If you chas came in shiksam darabana mekil mem batol b'chol davar sheyicholu litmos. Since some darabana, any other possibility the blood could have come from, we're mekil and we assume the blood came from someplace else. But here we're making an exception to the rule of tliya. What's the exception to the rule of tliya? He says, b'davka k'sheninze, he says, even if she has a tliya, she passed the shugat habachim where she dealt with stains. She was washing out stains. B'davka k'sheninze avasar labad. We're not told if it's found only on her skin. It's found on her skin and her clothing. Then, whether it's below the belt or she somersaulted, and it is above the belt. Okay, so what's this principle? This is based on the Gemara. On Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Al Basara Safek is Tame. Al Chaluka Safek is Tahar. And they have two Lashonos what this is. So Al Basara is Tame, Al Chaluka is Tahar. Right? Al Basara Safek Tame, Al Chaluka Safek is Tahar. Or Tmei and Tahora. Okay. What's the case? There are two Lashonos in the Gemara. First Lashon of the Gemara is that it's talking about below the belt and it's talking about Agra B'Shuk Shel Tavachim. Right? That what's the case? The case is Lemata Min HaChagor V'Agra B'Shuk Shel Tavachim. She has a Tliya. Even though she has a Tliya, Al-Bisara is Tame. Why? So the Gemara says, Al-Basar mi gufa asai bimi al-masai al-chaluka mi bai l'ashkuchay. What's the principle? If she finds Al-Basara, then we assume it's mi gufa. If she finds al-chaluka, then she can be tolling the other things. And all the Rishonim, to the best of my knowledge, assume, what if it's al-Basara? The al-chaluka, what if it's on her clothing and her body, then she's also tola. But if it's only on her body, she's not tola. Why, if it's only on her body, is she not tola? Because since it's on her body, the stomach came from her body and not from the butchers. Right? If it's on her clothing, it could have come from the butcher. Even on the inside of her clothing, the skirts often, you know, get twisted backwards and inside out. Even if it's on her clothing and her body, it could come from the butcher and gone through the clothing to her body. But if it's just on her body, then we assume it's from her body. Why, if it's just on her body? If it's from her body, then we assume, if it's just on her body, we assume it's from her body. That is what the Gemara says. It's machlok, we show whether we pass like this Gemara or not. The Ravid does not pass like this Gemara. He seems to assume that maybe we pass in like, it's not clear. Maybe we pass like the next Lashon of the Rosh Hashanah. Maybe we pass like the Lashon of Basra. So do we pass in like this? The Ravid does not pass in like this Lashon of the Gemara. But all the other Rishonim, I mean, why not? It's a Gemara. No one ever rejects it, even though there's another Hezbollah for the Brisa. And we, this was the Shulchan Aruch says, right? We pass like this Lashon of the Gemara, and that's a Chumrah. The Chumrah is Al-Basara. We assume that it is me, Gufa. Let me just finish the Shulchan Aruch then. Finish the Shulchan Aruch. But Med Bar Mumshin, Zaykhazim Al-Basara, Bilbad, and Tola. When do we say that the Sar Bilbad, you can't be Tola? She'ema Litmos, Elbe Isak, Som Shosabach. When the only Tliya is, she was dealing with stains, with like doing laundry of stained clothing, or in a butcher's market, Avalim Yesh Makav Gufa, but the Tliya is also from her guf. Let's say she has a wound in her guf that's bleeding. If the Tliya is also from her guf, she hold it she Efsha Shiyav Adami Mena, right? She has, the blood could be from hemorrhoids, from a cut, from this, from that. Then Tola Botahora. That's only if it's her guf versus the outside world. Then Al-Basara proves that it's Migufa. But if it's two parts of her guf, Dam Nida or Dam Maka, then the fact that her body doesn't prove either way, and therefore she can still be tola. Maka b'ksefa b'kesma yirei from welcome she efsha love maka tameya. However, you still have to use common sense. If the maka is someplace where it couldn't have dripped to there, maka is on her shoulder, and the blood is on her inner thigh. It can't drip that way, so you can't be tola on the maka if it's impossible. Okay, this is just the flip side of the beginning. Of the Seif. Just like you don't assume it's Dam Nida if it couldn't have dripped there. You can't be Megal and assume it's Dam Maka if it couldn't have dripped there.
Even though you die Maskanyosin?
Yes, because that would be Machzikim Makal Makal. We're not Machzikim Makal Makal, not even the Kula. Correct. We're not, that's a good point. So here we see we're not Machzikim Makal Makal, neither the Kula nor the Chumra. Okay, there's some discussion about why Al-Basara we assume it's Megufa. There are two different formulations of the Rishonim. One is perhaps a little more formal. One is a little more practical. Why is this? After all, why couldn't it have landed on her skin even if it came from outside? Why couldn't it have spritzed onto her skin? What? No, but why couldn't have landowner skin without her skirt? Why couldn't have landowner skin not touch her skirt? So, Michael's from Guy, he says, because why couldn't have spritz on her skin which wasn't covered by her skirt? No, she didn't leave the house. She didn't start the bucket. She doesn't have to start the bucket in her house. But I don't think you have to be so. They didn't have tights in those days. Okay, Sarkia. How they could have been from. But what's the point? The point is that when she goes into the shop, she doesn't. It's one. Her skirt could flip many ways, etc. But she doesn't want to reveal her skin when she doesn't want to reveal her body when she's in the shop. So therefore, she would always be careful to walk in a way that her skirt is covering her body. Okay, because she's a firm girl. Okay, I don't think they have to be super duper machmir. I think a lot of normal firm girls, when they walk in the street, they're machmir that their clothing should cover their body. And therefore, it couldn't be that it just came on her skin when her skirt moved aside for a moment, because she's careful she walked, that she shouldn't throw off her legs and let her skirt move aside. That sounds very reasonable, says Tosfos, because she would not reveal her body. And if she doesn't reveal her body, how does the blood get there from the slaughterhouse? Of course, not necessarily such a good taina. One could taina that maybe the blood landed on the floor and then she stepped on the floor and it squirted onto her body. You never know. That's what Tosfos says. The Rashba says it. What? Tosfos on the Beis Yosef. You want to know where it is? Well, you can look at the video the same way I could. I don't remember what. Anyway, the Rashba says a slightly different shot. It's not Alatar. It's right here. In Zion and Bays, the second to last postos. Ain Derek Legalos Basara. It's not the Derek to reveal her skin. That's what I said. If she's three skirts and it's only on the inner skirt, she could be told that. She might have picked up her two outer skirts and it fell on the inner skirts. But for sure, she wouldn't have revealed her skin. The Rashba says something that might be a little more formal. He says, no. Since it is the Gufa, we assume it came from Gufa. Since it is from her body, we assume it came from her body. Okay, maybe that's more of a formal idea. After all, if you find it on her body, if you find her body and her skirt, then it's on many things. We assume it could have come from anywhere. If you find it only her skirt, it could have come from anywhere. If you find it on her body, we assume it came from her body until proven otherwise. Okay, this could affect a strange, if you take this Rashba very, very formally, then maybe you could explain a very strange Taz. The Taz says here in Yodalid, V'chein in this Aska Mamish B'yodeh B'ksamim. If she actually touched red stuff. She actually touched red stuff, red stains. Not she was just around them, she was with them, etc. She actually touched with her hands red stains. Tola, Apam telling that she's Tola, even though it's found on her hands. So if she actually touched red stains, she's Tola, even though it's found on her hands. So this is a little unclear. What does he mean? What does she mean if she touched? She told she found her hand. What does it sound like from here? It sounds like if she touched red stuff, she pulled the red on her hands. Let's say she touched, her husband's a butcher. She was laundering his apron. She touched all the blood. She could have told on her hands. But it sounds like she went to the butcher shop. She can't be told on her hands. And all the Akronim say it's ridiculous. Of course, if she went to a butcher shop, she can be told on her hands. They all say the Taz is ridiculous. Doesn't make any sense. What do you mean? If she's an Afka B'yadal B'ksamim, she's told it even on her hands. No. She's told on her hands even if she didn't touch things. As long as she went to the butcher shop, she's told on her hands. As long as she was near people who were Osik B'ksamim. Right? One thing that was, she sat near people. She walked near people who were Osik B'ksamim. She could be told that. So this Taz is very strange. It could be that basically all the Achronim say that the Taz is just wrong. Either he didn't mean it or he's wrong, etc. Everyone rejects the Taz. It sounds very strange. The din of the Taz is fine. If she touched red stains, then she's tola red on her hand. But of course that's true. But again, the diuk of the Taz, but if she just walked in a butcher shop, did not tola her hands, everyone says that's ridiculous. Right? And either the Taz didn't really mean it, or either he didn't really mean it, or he's just wrong. A lemaisa, I thought maybe you could explain this Taz if he really takes the Rashba to an extreme. Right? Maybe you could say an afkamina is, right? Maybe you could say, nafkamina is, what if he went to Shaltapachim and found Kesem on her hand? For the Tosos, even though they only on her hand, only on her glove, right? Only on her hand, not on her glove. According to Tosfos, what would you say? Would you say, oh, we have a chumer, it's only on her body, she can't be tola? No, that's ridiculous. You know, the chumer of her body is because of chusim. Yeah, places she wouldn't reveal. Her hands are never covered. Of course, it gets breath on her hands. Then it's tashba that she's tola. Of course, she's tola. Her hands are revealed. Her hands are not hidden parts. You know, what's usually parts of something come on? Your inner legs. Okay, so those are usually covered. But her hands are always revealed. Right, generally, the only part of the body that's revealed that blood can get to the mucker is the hands, because you're not in the stomach, because all the parts below the mucker are usually covered. So then, obviously, if you said, like, the Rashba, since it is the Gufa, we assume it came from Gufa, since it's on her Gufa, we assume it came from Gufa, then, you know, depends how you take this Rashba. If you take this Rashba as more of a, like, practical point, since it's in her legs, we assume it came from very near her legs, then that wouldn't apply to her hand. But if you think it's like a formal point, her goof is like one chalos. So he said, maybe if you understand Rashba formally as a, you know, chetza shel goof. So blood's on the chetza shel goof. We assume it came from the chetza shel goof. Then you can't be tola if you find her hand that's part of her goof, and then you have to assume it came from her goof, and you can't be tola. Then you can't be tola. And this would be the very strange Taz of cutting your dalid that everyone disagrees with. So what I'm trying to say, there is a way to defend the Taz if you take a very formal view of the Rashba, which is din the chetza shel goof. What I mean by formal views, you could view the Rashba more practically. He's not the same as Tosos. But you could be the Rashba more practically, just he means her legs. And what he means is if you find her legs, which is so near the makor, then the stomach came from the makor. But he would say that her hands, which are very far away from the makor. But if you understand it as a formal chalos in the gulf, like basically any blood of one chayfetz came from that chayfetz, don't prove it otherwise, then that would explain the Taz. What does the Taz say? If she talked red dye with her hands, that's one thing. That's not a tliya, that's a vadai. But she just went through the structural habachim, then you're not tola. Says the Taz meduyak, she'en tolim dam al yadeha be fafe dam mibahos. And what's the vadai? The vadai, that's not a tliya. That's a vadai. So you could justify this very, very strange Taz based on one reading of the Rashba, even though you could justify it, Lamaisa, all the Achronim say, that's ridiculous, it can't be. If he meant it, he's wrong, and we don't pass like the Taz.
Isn't that just like a little bit far-fetched to say that's actually Shana?
I'm trying to defend the Taz. Okay. Again, Rosh Shechter wouldn't want me to defend the Taz, I understand.
Another question on maybe... this issue of chavdala, like if the chasm is on the go, it's very far, like chasm is one part of the body and very far from her shirt. And according to those, you understand, because you always assume whatever, maybe it's not there, but if it's a dinna, but on the go, from the Gopal Brahman, otherwise, if the Ketsam is totally not connected, so where it's not on the shirt, maybe you shouldn't want to be told.
In terms of exactly where to draw the line, maybe. I have to think about it. Maybe. I have to think about it more. Okay, anyway, Kitzer, another two interesting questions that come up based on Diyukim of this Taz are, and you see, the Rebbe Kiv Eger starts out by saying the Taz is ridiculous. He says, what do you mean? The reason you're not told it's because if it was from the outside, why would it only be on her body? And if it's hands, we understand why it only be on her body, because there's no clothing on them. And your hands just go places and they get dirty. So he says the Taz is right? What's Amos even Makom Makom? If you again. Right? If I went to the Shukshel Tabach, and we don't say maybe it squirted in my hands, then I touched my inner thigh. It says, so what's the Chiddush of the Rashba here? The Chiddush of the Rashba here is that there might Nachzikim Makom Lamakom means you have two assumptions. What if the first one's not an assumption? What if you know you touch with your hands red dye? Then it's not two steps to say then you touch your thigh. That's only one step. Right? So that's what the Rashba meant. The Rashba meant that if you know bevada you touched a red dye, some sort of, I don't mean necessarily dye, something that gets red on you. If you know bevada that your hands got red, then you can be told anywhere in your body and your hands, that's only one step. But if your hands were just in the Shukshel Tabachim, then it would be two steps to say it squirted onto your hands and then for your hands onto your thigh, and then you can not be told that. That's what the Rashba really good. But here, this gets a little tricky. Because there's all different kinds of scenarios. What are the all different kinds of scenarios? One thing is, very clear. Right, let's just mention some of these narratives. One thing is very clear. Avra bishok shel tabachem umatz adam, let's say al shoka mi bifnim, she's tamea. Next, that would be up to you. Mokum umakum, say she spritz from the butter under her hand and her hand under her thigh. That's pashut not. And what is Rashba trying to say here? Yes, that's when she spritz tabachem, but if she actually touched ksamim, if she actually touched someone, right? What if Aska Iksamin Biyadeha Matadam Al Shoka Mibithnim, that's just a good example. And she's told that why is that only one sock? Well, one step. She knows. Her hands were dirty. The two things that are a little controversial are, what about the following case? What if her hands are clean? What if her hands are clean? That's the Pesach Tshuva quotes the Chachmas Adam. And the Pesach Tshuva quotes the Chachmas Adam here. One second. Where is this? Because of Nira Lo, that even if she doesn't know the end of Chafei, right? So even if she's not sure, her hands are now clean, and she's not sure, the Chachmas Adam in the Pesach Tshuva, so the Katan Chape says she's Tola. He Vadai Nislach Lechu Yadaha. Right? So even if now her hands look clean, that just says they had to one, but it got wiped off. But it's not Yadaha. The other interesting machlok is what about in this case? What about Matadam al Yadaha Vigam al Shtoka Mibithya? She finds, she goes to the butcher shop and then finds blood in her hands and on the inside of her thigh, let's say. Now already, what's Machzor Machzor Machzor? She knows there's blood on her hands. So here, Rabbi Akiva Eger has a machlokas about this. He's medayik from the Rashba. That they, now, he's Rabbi Akiva Eger is medayik from the Rashba, that maybe this would be a problem. Rabbi Akiva Eger himself says he thinks it would be okay. Why? Because it's not two steps. If the blood on her hands is from the butcher shop, then we don't have to like assume she touched her thighs. That's a machlokes we did because there's blood in her hands. But saying machlokes means you think you brought the blood from here to there with your hands and your hands are clean. But if your hands have blood on them, then that's more of an evidence. That's like, oh, I'm thinking machlokes. Santra Kiva Eger. He assumes the Rashba is machra in that. That's still called machzik machlokes. And he himself thought it would be mutter. Okay. I don't know how often this comes up, but it's an interesting machlokas. He thinks the Rashba would say, even if she had blood in her hands, still she also had blood in her body, inside her skirt, then she can't be told on the butcher shop, because still you're assuming it went from the butcher shop to your hands and from your hands to your thigh. And Rabbi Akiva Eger himself says, no, you can't make two assumptions. Stop. But over here, when there's blood on your hands, then there's a basis. That's not an assumption. There's a basis, and therefore you can't be told on.
Once we
go to
the Chacham, shouldn't
the Rikivir take the Chacham? No, because the Rikivir is only one step. You for sure got your hand dirty. This is why it's not Pasha. Because the Chacham is when you touch something with blood. Over here, why is the Rikivir case not Pasha? Because it could be that it's nothing to the butcher shop and actually just blood fell on your thigh and your thigh was cutting the same when you touched your thigh. And that's how your hands got dirty. That's why it's not so much.
And the gate, what was the gate also like again?
That you for sure touched something with a red dye.
Now your hands are clean.
Yeah, but he said, but then now your hands are clean. They were obviously originally dirty.
No, once it's finished, it's fucking so. If you for sure touch something red, then if your hands are ready with
it, I guess it's finished is that we follow the Derech Ha'olam. We don't assume a weird thing happened and your hands didn't get dirty. We follow the Derech Ha'olam. When you touch red paint, your hand gets dirty. Yes.
Nice to know all these cases not.
Okay, let's get back to that in a moment. Okay, let's go to Yudbeis and then I'll answer your question. Yudbeis. Nimta kesema chaluka lamata meachogar. By the way, you should know, even nowadays when we have underwear, etc., most of these questions don't come up so much, but sometimes you could have, like, people take showers and they take off their underwear, etc., right? So, when people take showers, usually they wash off all their ksamim. But I'm saying there could still be rare cases where you get shilas of ksamim someplace other than underwear. But it's pretty rare. Just cast them on a towel. That's okay. We'll have to get that much later in the seven. You know, how clean was the towel, right? Okay, but let me go back to this in a second. Yudbeis. Nimza kesem chaluka lamatzmei achagar. You found your kesem on her chaluk literally means a tunic, right? A dress. Right? In their days, the standard woman wore, not like nowadays, when sometimes women wear dresses, sometimes they wear skirts and blouses. The women wore dresses in those, so did the men once upon a time. Right? So she finds it on her chaluk lamatma, below the belt, or actually at the point of the belt. And the whole discussion in the Piskei Tshuva of Zion, who quotes from the Sidrei Tara, who says, hold on a second, even if the kesem is well above the belt like this, maybe she bent down and then it fell from the mukkar on there. So there must be only one who wears the belt. Therefore, above the belt could never have been exposed to the mukkar. But all the other achronim say that's not true. The achronim says, no, it's not true. Even if she doesn't wear a belt, most women didn't wear belts. They just had some dresses. Even if you bend over a lot and the front of your dress goes down, it's still not going to be below the mukkar. It'll be in front of the mukkar. Think about it. If I bend down, it never reaches below the only the belt can reach below the mukkar because it's close enough. But above the belt can go lower lower altitude than the mucker, but can't actually be aimed below the mucker. So we paskin against that Pisley Chuba in Chazayin. Pisley Chuba says the belt only makes a difference if you're wearing a belt. You say if you're not wearing a belt, Chazal or Mishair, that anything above the waist, right? Belt meaning waist. Anything above the waist cannot be aligned under the mucker. Okay, I think it makes sense to me, even though I haven't, you know, put on my chaluk and tried. Here's a case. Even if it's on the outside of her skirt, it's still tameh because sometimes the skirt flips inside out, and the blood could drip on the outside. It doesn't make a difference if it's on the side or the back or the front of the skirt because when you move around, it moves in all directions. She passed through a shuk shel tavachim. She's tahorik. She's tola. Even if it's on the inside of her skirt, basically we assume your skirt or your dress could flip inside to outside. So that if you didn't go to the butcher shop, she's tameya even if it's on the outside, because that might have been the inside. And if she did go to the butcher shop, she's tahorik even if it's on the inside of her dress, because that could have been the outside. Valbasara, and even if it's also on her flesh. But if it's only on her dress above the belt, tahora. Afilin is dakra v'girigla. Even if she flipped upside down and put her feet up, even if she didn't pass through the butcher shop, she ilabon hamakor. This is machlokes in the Rashi and most Rishonim versus the Rambam. I should have made room for the second shot. Remember, here was the first shot. So what is the second shot? What is the Lishon HaBas for the Gemara? The second shot is it's talking about Lamala min hachagor v'nizdakra. And then if, what is the Gemara saying? If it's al-bisara, we assume migufa. If it's al-chaluka, then we assume not migufa. And here you have a machlokas Rambam versus Rashba and other Rishonim had interpreted this line. Said the Rambam, exact same, or the question is what's the okenta? What's the okenta here? Says the Rambam, the Okimta is lo avra bishok shel tavachin, and therefore it's the same exact rule as the Lishna Kama. Basically, it means above the belt she flipped upside down. Above the belt when she flipped upside down, it's the same as below the belt. And therefore, it's the same exact rule as Lishna Kama. If it's only on her skin, how would it have gotten only on her skin? It must be from her body. If it's on only on her clothing, or on both her skin and clothing, we could be Tola. However, we don't pass like the Rambam. We paskin like the Rashba and the others. Says the Rashba, nope, it's a new principle. And what's the case? Avra Bishop, sorry. Ram should be upper, right? The Ram says the same as that principle. You have a tliyah, but you can't do the tliyah. It's only your body. He says it's low of Rabbi Shokshel Tabachim. And therefore, we have a new principle. Oh, she's low of Rabbi Shokshel Tabachim. What's the happening with Tahir? So he says the new principle. What's the new principle? The new principle is that any dam that flows upside down, any dam that flows when she's upside down, must get on her skin. Any dam that flows when she's upside down must get on her skin. That's the principle according to the Rashba. Why? If you think about it, if you're flipped upside down, the blood has to drip down her body. The blood has to drip down her body, then how can it not get on her skin? If she's right side up, the blood might drip straight onto her clothing, not onto her skin. But if she's upside down, it has to roll down the body. Never has to be on her skin. And there, and that's exactly how we're passing here. What are we passing? If nitsa achaluka, and therefore, let's just add one thing to the Rashba. What's the rule therefore? The rule therefore is al visara she's tmeya. Albis Thara Bigam Chaluka, she's Tmeya. But it's Al Chaluka Bilvad, she's Tahora because it couldn't be Damida. Where did it come from? Don't know, must have come from someplace, but it can't be Damida because it's impossible that Damida, when she's upside down, could have only landed on her clothing and not her body. Okay, new principle, and that's how we paskin like the Rashba. Yoni's question ties in a lot to the Pesukei Teshuva Chavav. What is Pesukei Teshuva saying Chavav? I'm a Sidrei Tara. That the Gemara says, even if she had three skirts, it doesn't matter if it's on the inner skirt, the outer skirt, the middle skirt, either way, it could have come from her body, or it could have come from the Shuk Shel Tabachim, because they slip all over. But he says, that's talking about skirts. What about Malvushim Mavurim? What about fitted clothing, like ours, like he had fitted clothing? Then, no, the inside is the inside, the outside is the outside. It's very pashut, right? What's he basically saying here? That you have to use your common sense. When you have skirts and dresses, Chazal tells they could flip any which way. But when you're wearing pants or tights or underwear, then they don't. There's no room for them to flip. They're fitted. And therefore, it's very clear what came from the inside, what came from the outside, etc. We go even further. Nowadays, that we wear underwear, so basically, there's not really so much tlius because, again, unless the tlia is a maka ba'osa maka, then of course there's still a tlia. But there's not even tlius on her guf. Like, who cares if she has a cut on her, you know, on her leg? It's not going to get from there the inside of her underwear. And even if she like stepped on a puddle of blood and it squirted up, you know, still, it wouldn't be only on the inside of her underwear. So basically nowadays, basically the principle here is nowadays that we invented underwear. So a lot of these halachas of kliya don't apply. However, at both directions, give me a second, both directions. Meaning on the one hand, if it landed someplace where it couldn't have gotten from the makor, basically if you're wearing underwear, then you have a kula and a chumra, right? Meaning, the kula is, if you find blood on your leg but not on your underwear, you shouldn't have to worry about it because how could it have gotten to your leg without going through your underwear? And the chumra is, if you find blood on your underwear but you happen to have, you know, played paintball with red paint and the blood on the inside of your underwear, you still can't be told that because it couldn't have gotten to the inside of your underwear, etc. Which is true, which is why a lot of these are really not so lamaisa nowadays. However, the Bada Shulchan makes a good point here in Simchat and Kuflin Beis. He says, still, sometimes you take your underwear on and off, right? When you get dressed, when you get undressed, when you go to the bathroom, etc. So he says, we still have to keep these halachas in Shulchan Aruch sometimes, because you just have to make a cheshbon in common sense. If it couldn't, for example, if a woman finds blood on her leg, then she has to say, well, if, you know, when I was getting dressed and undressed and changing, it could have fallen there, then it's still a problem. And likewise for Tlios, again, not the Shuk Shel Tabachim. Everyone only gets dressed or undressed in the Shuk Shel Tabachim, but in a very, very strange situation where, you know, red dye was squirting in your bathroom when you're getting dressed or undressed. I mean, okay. Basically, I can't think of any great Tlios. But I guess it could be, you know, let's say she has a cut in her leg, and when she rolls her underwear down and up to go to the bathroom, it could have touched there. So therefore, even nowadays, you don't apply all the rules of Sif, Yud Aleph, and Yud Beis, and on and on and on automatically, but you do have to take into account the fact that usually, you know, when you're in the Shuk Shel Tabachim, there's a very clear borderline between the makor and everything else, and there's not really much to talk about. But when you're in the bathroom, then it's not so posh, and you have to take that into account as well. So you have to use your common sense.
So why would we go regarding size?
Because as we paskin, that's, you mean less than a gris. Yeah. Because we paskin, that's not really a tliya, that is a shear, like Ramosha. Or if you want to say something. Okay, let's just do 2 minutes, go a little further. Yud Gimel. Nimtzal, and this is all just Heichi tenses. Nimtzal beis yad shel chalukah. If you find it on her sleeve, in a makom shenzo adam beis yad megia beis atur. If that part of the sleeve could get to under the genitals, tameya afilo en yochalukah yel shem elam kitishchar. Even if it only gets there when she bends over a lot, And if it can't reach there, it's Tahor, just common sense. Again, here we're assuming that you go to sleep without underwear, right? If you go to sleep with underwear, this doesn't apply. But it says, let's say people were very poor. They didn't have a blanket, but they took off their dress and used it as a blanket. Any place the dam is on the dress is tmeya. One, they should close or hold a veil, because everyone knows when you sleep, you toss around a lot and everything goes everywhere. Again, this assumes you sleep without underwear. Even if it's on her tichel that she covers her head with, when she's asleep, the tichel comes off her head and could go connected also makom. And therefore, a stain on the tichel would be tmeya. Or she uses the belt. But if she tied her tichel onto her head well when she woke up, it was still there, then obviously it didn't go connected also makom, and it's the horror. Again, common sense. Tesla. We're not getting to the sugya of shtei nashim. We'll save that for sifcha pei. But the point is, two women who both took turns covering their hair with one tichel, shteim tmeos. They're both tmeos because you don't know which of them it was from, assuming it came off their head in the middle of the night. V'im achas kista v'acheret lo kista. Afi shteim loved to a cholik nintzei kesel mal me'achager osha shekista tmei v'acheres tahora. Okay, this is a little obvious. Basically, they both wore a dress. One wore a dress Monday, Tuesday, the other Wednesday, Thursday. But one of them used it to cover her head at night. She had a blanket, but she also used it to cover her head at night, and it came off her head. And the stain was above the belt, and neither of them do somersaults. So then, obviously, the one who covered her head, it's keneged osa makom for her, because you toss and turn at night, and she's tamei, and the other one is tahora. Tes, zayin, im yesh la maka b'tzavara, if she has a wound, a cut in her neck, v'nimtza kesem, close call, Venimsa kesem b'cholak, and she finds a stain in her dress. Afilo mat mechagre even below the belt. She efshar ligo shamayamaka, that it can't get there from her wound. The shach points out it depends where in her neck. If someone has, don't fool around with these things. Someone has a cut in the front of her neck, then she can lean over and it could drip anywhere. But let's say you have a cut on the side. She has a cut on the side of her neck, right? Then it can only go on her shoulder. It can't get onto her skirt. Therefore, if she finds the bottom of her skirt, she can't be tola because it can't get there. However, if she took it off and used it as a blanket at night, then she could because it goes all over. So basically, everything bein l'kula bein l'chomer. Just like you say when you're at night, everything goes everywhere, and even connected osa makom l'chomer, that wherever you find it, it could be damnida. Likewise, if you have a wound anywhere in your body, wherever you find it, you could be tola in that wound. In poshatu miskatzavu tola makasa shenim reshapim bolu sham. It must have gone and touched the side of your neck in the middle of the night. Yud Zayin Matzah Kesel Lamal Miachager VeKesel Lamat Menu. She finds two stains, one above the belt, one below the belt. Yudash Lo Nizdakra. She knows she didn't turn upside down. Most women, pretty much know that they don't turn upside down. It's not such a common thing for most normal people to do. It probably is healthy to do gymnastics, but most people don't turn upside down. Do you turn upside down in yoga? I have no idea. I've never done yoga. Anyway, whatever. Well, maybe it's helping do yoga. Wonderful. More power. But anyway, Kitzer, she knows she didn't turn over. She's tahora. Interestingly, she has no plea, but she finds one above the belt, one below the belt. She's tahora. Why? Shani Omer, Kosha Elyon Bami Alma, Kach Ba Tachto. Why? Because there's one above the belt. It's impossible that it's Damnida because she didn't turn upside down. Therefore, there must have come from someplace else. So now we know there must be someplace else Dam came to her from outside her body. If so, we could be told below the belt on that also, even though we don't know what it was. We know there is some Tliya out there that we don't know what it is. And that's enough of a Tliya, because wherever the top Dam came from, maybe the bottom Dam also came from them there, so we could be told that. Oh, Yoser, only if the top one is more than a kugris. Shavadami alabak, because then for sure it came from someplace else. Shari, ain la tolosu bikina, because you can't attribute it to a less. Well, of Ainbo Congress, it ain't told us so many Alma Deshema Dam Kinahu being H Batak Congress for Ode and Litlos Pekina Tmea. However, the top one is less than a Congress for Ode, then maybe it's for a louse, and you can't assume there's some other source of blood. And if the bottom one is bigger than a Congress, it is Tmea. Okay, maybe nowadays we can be told that even the top one is very small because we don't have lice. And the Kula, we can assume we don't have lice nowadays. But that's what it seems to me. There's a few chumras in this halacha. And with that, we will have to end. A few chumras in this halacha. Number one, the shach says, it has to be yodash lo mizdakra. This clue is only if she knows she didn't turn upside down. What if she's not sure? This is the shocks of cutting. Lamed said if she's not sure, then she has to be machir.
Because Henry is done, this turn upside down.
This kula, this is basically, let's call it the assumed tliya. The assumed tliya. She has no tliya. She didn't go anywhere near anything red. But she found the stain above the belt. So must have been she went near something red. That's only if she's sure she didn't turn upside down. If she's not sure if she turned up, if she somersaulted or not, then she can't be mako. The main chumrah here is found in Rabbi Akiva Eger, Sikkatan. Yud, I thought it was here. No. Is found in Rabbi Akiva Eger. Sikkatan. Is this Yud Aleph? Yes, I've cut Yud Aleph, which is really commenting in the Baragola. Interesting, it's very rare that the Dibur Maskel, Rabbi Akiva Eger, is in the Baragola, but he had a Shulchan Aruch in Baragola, Shulchan Aruch Shach and Taz. So, sometimes, is what if the top stain is black and the bottom one is red, or vice versa? What if they're different colors? Can you be tola even if they're different colors? Okay, again, I doubt this can be halachah l'maisa for us, I must admit. But the Ber Hagola and the Sidrei Tara, according to Pesachei Tshuva, say if it's different colors, then you can't be tola. If it's different colors, you can't be tola. Because how can you say the same assumed tliya for the top of my dress was the source of the blood on the bottom of my dress? It's different colors. And Rabbi Akiva Eger disagrees. He says no. Maybe it was just a source with many different colors of stains. Okay. I don't know how we paskin. It doesn't really come up with Maisa. Another machlokas here that they discuss she finds it above the belt and then on her body below the belt. What do we say in that case? What? Yeah. She finds it above the belt on her clothing, below the belt on her body. And then Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Pesachei Tshuva quoting the Sidrei Tara. Sidrei Tara is not sure, and the Rabbi Akiva Eger is machmer on this. Okay, but again, these are all cases that are not likely to be halacha l'maisa for us. So maybe we will call it a day for now. And we'll pick up Mirtz Hashem next time with Sivkat and Yud Ches, and then we'll really try to speed through because, again, many of these are not super l'maisa. We'll start from Yud Ches and we'll try to, get through as far as we get next time, which would be Tuesday, right? Great question. What I'd like to get through, let's see if we can speed through to Lamed Zion. Is that going to be possible? Let's give it a try. See if we can get through to Lamed Zion. Okay. What? Hanukkah, we're going to have our regular schedule. Just going to start an hour earlier. Right? You all got the email about the Hanukkah schedule. Afternoon Seder on Hanukkah is an hour earlier than afternoon Seder on the rest of the year.